This is GamerCast episode 312. Pikachu is dishonorable. This is the show recorded on the 8th of October, 2012. Yeah, I'm your host, my name's Paul, and joining me this week, as always, is
me.
Catherine. I'm here again this week.
You usually say my name.
I don't always say your name, do I?
No. You didn't do GamerCast last week. Someone was a bit under the weather. Not me. I had to force Paul to do this.
He's what? Like, you have to force me to do my own show? Yeah, boy.
Oh, sorry, that was my shoulder. I'm sorry.
You can tell we've not done the show for 2 weeks. Do you want to know how?
How?
Because we're not on the ball. Let's get on the ball.
Now for the news.
What's happening?
Jeez. So there's been a fair bit of news. I'm not going over everything that happened in the last week.
MechWarrior
or the last 2 weeks.
No longer NDA. Woo! So the podcast is now being renamed MechWarrior GamerCast. Because it's all I want to talk about. So earlier on, yeah, I was playing as my Atlas, my Founder's Atlas, yeah. It's equipped with 2 large pulse lasers, 2 medium lasers, 2 machine guns, and 2 Streak SRM, whatever they are. And I killed someone with it. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you posted about on Facebook as well.
I was like, oh, I was just on a roll, man. I was unstoppable, except the last 2 games where Windsor was in the game and we got killed.
But you were enjoying it otherwise.
So Nintendo 3DS news. There's going to be a Pokey. Are we talking about this now?
There's a whole host of news in it.
Okay, I'll start off. There's going to be a new DS. It's going to be a Pokemon one with Pikachu on it. It doesn't have an Atlas, a Jenner, a Madcat, a Timberwolf, or same thing, or any other cool mechs on it, but it's got a Pokemon.
So this is the same 3DS XL that I believe it was the Pokemon Center in Japan was having a Pikachu limited edition XL, and we're getting the same. We're also getting the XL in white with Mario Kart 7 pre-installed on it. That's from November 16th, and then we'll also have a Pikachu one, which is to celebrate the launch of Pokemon version, no, Pokemon Black version 2.
Beat 'em all in new Black and White 2.
Pokemon White version 2, so they're doing that. They also announced a few other things, because there was an Nintendo Direct conference, so they've said about things that now that you'll be able to buy is downloadable software. There's a sequel to Pool Blocks, which is a digital game called Fall Blocks. We already knew about that. New Arcane, blah, blah, blah. As well as a few digital games. So Liberation Maiden is out now. These digital games are being released over here by Level 5. However, they were released in Japan as part of Guild Zero 1, which was a multi-game pack featuring works of some of the industry's most respected game creators. So Liberation Maiden is a Suda 51 game. So Grasshopper manufacturer.
Grasshopper.
That's out already. And it's £7.19 on the eShop. I have a few friends who I think have played it and have said it doesn't feel as Suda as you'd think. But I haven't played it. And then they're also releasing Aero Porter and Crimson Shroud, which are also in the Guild Zero 1. But they're not coming out until... Well, Aero Porter's coming out in November, and Crimson Shroud's available in December. Oh, I suppose I should say Liberation Maiden is a shmup, I believe.
Shmup.
But it's a full-scale 3D one. So I would imagine similar to...
Back to the Future, Part
Cinemora.
2.
Also, Aero Porter is a puzzle game with the simulation of airport operations, created by the man behind Seaman, which of course never hit Dreamcasts over in the UK. However, it came out in America. I believe it came out in the UK. So this sounds weird. You sort colour-coded luggage onto conveyor belts while avoiding mishaps and delays. You can also design and share your own planes with a wide range of colours and patterns. And then there's also Crimson Shroud, which is coming out December. It's made by Yasumi Matsuno, who worked on things like Prophet's Tactics, Vagrant Story, and Tactics Ogre. And it's a new RPG, tabletop RPG style. And it puts the power of the dice into the player's hands to determine their fate. So that's a more RPG theme, which is, of course, quite different to a shooter and a little minigame kind of game. So yeah, they also gave a few more details on Paper Mario Sticker Star, which will now be coming out across Europe on the 7th of December. And yeah, I actually did miss the live Nintendo Direct doodad. But I caught up on it all on the internet, especially because of a Pikachu 3DS XL. It kind of means I need to buy another one. Annoyingly.
Pikachu.
What did he say?
Something about Pikachu. Let's talk about MechWarrior, because it's been at least 2 minutes since I've said anything about it. Oh man, it's really good. So my other mech, yeah, I've got a catapult. Yeah, I found this catapult as well, because I've got 220 to waste on a stupid mech game that was really damn expensive, and I wish I hadn't spent 80 quid on a mech game. But I've got a catapult, yeah, it's, man, it's kitting out with all these missiles and stuff. What are you doing? Oi. Next news item, please.
Next up, Tropico 4 is having a gold edition released.
Already?
What do you mean already?
It's only been out for like a week, hasn't it?
But, well, they released the Modern Times expansion. So this is on Xbox 360 as well as on Windows. And you'll be able to buy a bundle that has all the DLC in it with the main game. If you wanted to. And that's coming out soon.
Epic Taking the Mikey 2 is also coming out.
Epic Mickey 2, The Power of 2. So this, I believe, is American release date, so I'm not sure about in the UK. However, they've
announced... Well, this is a Wii U game, isn't it?
It's an everything game. It's coming out on 360.
It's coming out on Wii U, isn't it?
Yeah, it's coming out on 360. Well, the post is about the Wii U version. However, they've announced it's coming out on November 30th. But as the press release talks all about... being E for everyone and everything. I'm not sure if it's coming out over here on that date as well. Although I'd buy that on 360 because of the chance to buy an Epic Mickey game on 360 and get achievements is better. That's just me being silly. But I did kind of want Epic Mickey to be played with a standard controller as opposed to
the Pro
a
controller.
A Wiimote.
Epic Michael.
Yeah. Next up, PlayStation Mobile has launched. Oh, I was going to bring my Vita up.
PlayStation Mobile?
Yeah, PlayStation Mobile. So it's an array of small games between the cost of £25 to £5 pounds. Well, I think Mickey 2 is on 360. Sorry, I'm talking with chat room, aren't I?
The chat room is for my entertainment only. I press this button.
On Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. Oh wow, I didn't realise that.
Can we get on with the news, please?
I just mentioned, Epic Mickey Power 2 is being done by the Wii by Junction Point. The 360 and PS3 ports are being developed by Blitz Games up in Leamington Spa. And then the Wii U one's being developed by Heavy Iron. So PlayStation Mobile. There's a few little games out. I've bought a couple of them. They seem alright. I mean, of course, if it's a cheap game, you can just splash 40p and have a game on your Vita. So they work across most platforms. Of course, the main thing is that you can have a few little mini games to play on your Vita.
So if they work across most platforms, can I play them on my PC?
Probably not. When I say most platforms, I'm thinking it's probably just Vita and then phones that support PlayStation Mobile.
So... nothing.
I think there's
then.
Android phones, certain Android phones. But I think it's a nice thing to use for your Vita, yeah. It's a nice thing to have for your Vita. I'd like to... Well, I have paid 40p for a game, so I can have it on my Vita. And it's like, oh, look, I've got this now. The Future Lab released a couple of nice little games. Quite addictive. There's Super Crate something or other. Super Crate Box? Super Crate 3D? They're all kind of just little mini-game things, but they're cheap, which is nice. So that's what I want to check them out and see what's up on offer. Some game creation news with Game Maker. Game Maker is now available to purchase on Steam. So Steam rolled out not last week, the week before, was it now? The chance to purchase applications via Steam. And Game Maker was one of their first ones. They did have an offer where you got 10% off, but that's finished by now. But if you ever wanted to make your own games, you could try using Game Maker. You can buy all their editions through Steam. And or if you've already got Game Maker, you can get a Steam code now as well. And it also saves your games to the cloud, apparently. Which I think could be kind of cool. No?
I am so sick of this word. The cloud.
Well, the Steam cloud.
It saves it to a server on the internet.
It saves it to a server, but generally with Game Maker, you can only do that before if you had a server on the internet.
I have many servers on the internet.
But that means then at least if you log in with Steam somewhere, you can bring up your stuff easily.
Oh yeah, Steam's panicking because they're about to be pwned by the Windows Store. My name's Gabe Newell. Look out, Gabe. Gordon Freeman is coming to get you. Oh look, there he is over there.
Next up. Some PlayStation Home news, which sounds kind of cool, and it's a shame because I hadn't managed to give it a play, even though I turned on the PS3 yesterday. For PlayStation Home, they've added a new thing called Home Tycoon, which is a free-to-play city-building game in PlayStation Home. It's, of course, the first of its kind on the PS3, allowing you to do stuff, and it came out last week. It's been made by Hellfire Games. Apparently, it's a robust city-building simulation. Hours of storage of missions and activities, 16 player online street racing, I don't think that's needed, and over 50 avatar rewards to earn, meh. You're the mayor and you craft just and personalise your city. Does that mean other people can go in it? I'm not entirely sure. They claim the only limit is your imagination. I think it's quite nice though that they've added something a bit more substantial to PlayStation Home, because no one wants to go on PlayStation Home and stand in a weird lobby while someone dances around you and asks you, like, ASL or something like that. And all that people seem to do on PlayStation Home is just dance in your face. It's just a bit of a weird place.
It's like World of Warcraft, but weird.
Yeah. It's like you think that people might be playing games instead of... I mean, you could of course play some weird little things, but yeah, it's nice that they've added something bigger to it, so I need to give that a check and see what it's like. Some MCM Expo news. There hasn't really been any announcements really. I guess maybe they decided to change the way they do things, because previously they were like how Eurogamer just were, where it was hey look, we've got this here, hey look, we've got this, hey look, we've got this, and so on and so on. Whereas they've done a big splurge of information. So Eurogamer Expo happens between the 26th and the 28th of October, which is the final weekend of October. And I don't think I should mention guests. I suppose if you're a Doctor Who fan, they've got Matt Smith there on the Friday. But otherwise, I'll just mention game-wise. They've got some voice actors and stuff. Ubisoft have got Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation, so the PlayStation Vita exclusive Assassin's Creed game, Far Cry 3 and Zombie U. You can play Lost Planet 3 and Devil May Cry, or DMC as it's known, at the Capcom stand, as well as Lost Planet 3 and Devil May Cry, the latest in the hit beat-em-up franchise. That doesn't sound right. Namco Bandai have a Tekken Tag Tournament 2 contest, as well as showing off Ni No Kuni Wrath of the White Witch, and Square Enix are showing off Hitman Absolution and Tomb Raider there as well. XCOM Enemy Unknown will be playable there, even though of course it's been out in about 2 weeks when it's at the show, as well as Borderlands 2 being playable for anyone who hasn't bought it yet. THQ will also be showing off South Park The Stick of Truth, probably one of the first times for the public in the UK to be able to see that. So that's kind of cool. The games, THQ are showing off something a little bit different. And then GameSpot UK are back having a small little games area, although they haven't actually announced exactly what is in it. So that's nice. No mention on Nintendo, other than that Ubisoft will have the Wii U on show. I imagine they'll mention a bit more soon. Is it okay? We can still have a bit more of a break of No Mech Warrior talking. Is that okay, or has it been too long now?
No,
Paul's looking at memes. What is wrong with your display?
Not display gyro being funny. It's a beta gyro.
Okay. Dead or Alive 5 news. Tecmo Koei announced that the first piece of DLC would be free, which is a costume pack, so you can go on your 360 or PS3 now and download that and have a different outfit. You get an outfit for Kokoro. Who's Kokoro or Kokoro? Zach has a new costume. Helena has a new costume. Bayman has a new costume. Christy gets even hotter in her new leather gear. I never liked Christy that much. Tina has a new outfit. Tina's kind of cool. And Mila, the new one of the new characters, takes on a little cosplay apparently, but it didn't say exactly what. And there's also some Virtual Fighter character updates, so Akira, Sarah, and Pi. So yeah, go on there, you can download that for free. But of course, probably the next DLC pack will not be free. But yeah. Cool. Nintendo have announced that there is now DLC for New Super Mario Bros. 2. Obviously because they've gotten the DLC bandwagon, because they realised they haven't really done it that much. So a lot of kind of 3DS games seem to be doing it at the moment, like with Theatre Rhythm. Although that's of course a third party title. But they've added three DLC packs for Gold Rush, Coin Rush mode. The Gold Rush pack has new courses. Coin Challenge pack. And the Nerve Rack pack. It's a horrible thing to say. All you have to pay for. They're not freeze. But you can check out those if you kind of coin rushed it to death. And would like a little more out of the game. Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. So I'm not too sure on this because their wording's a little bit weird. But Konami announced a collector's edition for Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. Well, this calls it a limited edition, but I say it's a collector's edition. It comes with a copy of the game, the official soundtrack, a two-sided steelbook for the game to go in, and a high-frequency katana blade plasma lamp, which is a small little lamp with a katana in it, which is a blade, which is why it's lit up. So I believe this had only been announced for North America, although at the end of this press release it says that the limited edition will be available February 19th for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 at major retail stores nationwide. Or would nation just mean... I suppose it'd have to say worldwide, wouldn't it? So yeah, they've got that coming out in America, and then as well Konami announced the Zone of the Enders limited edition, which is also coming out in America currently. And it has this copy of the game, and it comes within a gold metallic package bundle, as it calls it, which sounds like it could mean a steel tin, but it doesn't really say, that has a copy of the game in it, the demo for Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, a soundtrack featuring remixes and music from the series, because Zone of the Enders has some awesome music in it, and also a 100-page art book featuring the work from Yuji Shinkawa. I didn't realise Yuji Shinkawa did all the stuff. And that comes out October 30th in America. Whether or not it comes out in the UK with a limited edition is another thing, but we shall see. Microsoft have announced that there's going to be a Forza Horizon demo out tomorrow as a free download on Xbox Live. And they haven't mentioned whether you have to be a gold member for it, and it's coming out on a Tuesday, which is a bit different. But Forza Horizon is, of course, the more arcadey Forza. Is that right? Is that the right terminology for it?
I would say Forza Horizon is the Forza mixed with a bit of Need for Speed.
Yeah.
In that you're not on tracks.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so there's a demo out tomorrow for that, which you can download. And give it a try. So if you want to pick up the full game when it's out on October 26th. Earth Defense, this is now, like, not last week's news, the week before. Earth Defense Force 2017. I didn't realise it was 2017. But the Vita version of Earth Defense Force is coming out in the UK. That skull one was weird. What was the skull one? Earth Defense Force is coming out on the Vita in Europe. Europe / America. But winter next year. Considering it came out the 27th, I believe. Yeah, probably the 27th in Japan of September. So it's taken almost over a whole year for it to come out over here, to be translated. But it's nice that it's coming out of here. That the creepy. That one at the end. Rainbow Moon, a turn-based RPG on PlayStation 3 / PlayStation Network, is being brought over to PlayStation Vita next year. They haven't said an exact date or anything like that, but they'll be given more information in the future. But they're happy to be bringing it out for PlayStation Vita. Obviously, of course, it may have some kind of Vita-specific commands for the controls, so it'd be nice to see how that works out. And then, also, finally, Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons has been announced. Of course, this was a while ago now. It was previously known as P13 for Xbox Live, Arcade, PlayStation Network, and Steam. And Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons is the new game from Starbreeze that 505 are publishing for them, which sounds kind of cool. There's a teaser trailer which shows no gameplay. So the synopsis for it is: a man clinging to life, his two sons, desperate to cure their ailing father, are left with but one option. They must set out upon a journey to find and bring back the water of life. As they come to rely on one another to survive, one must be strong where the other is weak, brave where the other is fearful. They must be brothers. It looks quite nice. It's kind of the people relying on other people thing. And it looks really nice as well. Kind of nice little forests like Alan Wake. Which is weird because the environments were quite realistic, so I didn't know what the characters would look like, and they only glimpsed at the characters. So I'll be keeping an eye on this because it's coming out spring next year.
We need to talk about Star Wars Angry Birds, or Angry Birds Star Wars, whatever way around it is.
And I've got lots of not hope. I know Starbreeze can do some good. They've done good in the past. They've done awesome in the past. So I hope that they do a good job with this Tale of Two Brothers. That's it from the news otherwise for me. I don't know what you're talking about, Star Wars Angry Birds, though.
Oh, it's an Angry Birds Star Wars game.
Is there?
Aye, have you not seen this?
Well, that.
No, the Angry Birds Star Wars game.
No, I haven't. Should I off?
Oh, I'm doing an Angry Birds Star Wars game thing again.
Okay. Memes are creepy. Don't you think? Your creepy memes are creepy.
Nah, it's not creepy, it's funny. Don't. Only a mech warrior would understand these.
Oh, you're a mech warrior because you're a mech warrior, aren't you?
No.
That seems like a weird term. Only a mech warrior would know this.
Anyway, let's crack on with the fun part of the show.
It's time for
Name
That
Game.
Yeah, right. So, 2 weeks ago... 2 weeks ago, everyone would have heard this.
It's... I'd be proud just to shake your hand. Sir, thank you, sir.
Hey, didn't know you was up here. Sup? Name's Parker, private first class. Hey, they say you've been in the game for years, man. What was the name of that VT you used to pilot, huh? It don't matter.
What did you guess it was?
I think I went and guessed Binary Domain.
Yeah, it wasn't that. VT should have given you the clue. Vertical Tank, a.k.a. Mech.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
This week, we've got something different.
It's usually something a little different. This one's different.
Yeah, Yeah. I also should just say GZ to Charlotte for guessing last week's, which was still Battalion heavy armor. This week is game from, I don't know, like 6 years ago. That is the sound of a nuke going off in the game. Maybe not very realistic nuke, but there you go.
Any other hints other than 6 years ago?
About 6 years ago. No. Hardy guesses Fallout 3. Good guess, considering there are nukes in it.
Oh yeah, there's
and
the nuke.
There was a nuke that blew up.
There? Yeah, there's the nuke choice.
Anyone else? 5, 4, 2, 1. Time up, Catherine. Time up. If anyone listening thinks they know what it is, feedback at gamercast.net. Assuming that email address even works, I should probably test it out. Email us your guess, or just leave a comment on our website, gamercast.net.
New releases this week.
Two sort of major ones, and then a lot of jib-jab.
Yeah. So, like,
can I just make a comment? What is that?
The 12 gig model.
Okay.
So the biggest Nintendo release and main Nintendo release this week is
Peter Molyneux's Black and White 2.
So Pokemon Black version 2 and Pokemon White version 2, not called Pokemon Black 2 and Pokemon White 2, it's version 2, which I find a bit strange. So a new Pokemon game set 2 years after the events of Pokemon Black.
Right, let's call it Pokemon White. Pokemon Black and White 2 2. There's a new name, short of hand for it, because we is hardcore.
But it's new Pokemon. I kind of I've lost my way with Pokemon. I haven't played it.
Wait, you ever had your way with Pokemon?
Yes. I played Red and finished it. I played Silver. Was Silver mine and finished it? Red, Silver, Ruby. I've got them all.
They bought.
But when they came out on the DS, I'd lost it. I've got Pearl or Diamond or something like that. I haven't actually got Black or White. I probably won't be getting White version 2 or Black version 2 unless they go cheap at some point. Which is the same with Pokemon Black and White. But I don't know, when it became over 150 Pokemon, like even that, like the stretch to 200 and stuff like that was a bit strange. But the stretch to like tons and tons of Pokemon that just have really strange names, I just, meh. I mean, of course it looks a lot nicer than it used to, but I got bored of the grind in Pokemon.
Well, yeah, if you want to play Pokemon, just play World of Warcraft.
Like
the power battles in World of Warcraft are so much better than Pokemon.
I think really I generally just got bored of grinding in games because I don't have the time to grind in games.
I don't either.
Which is why
Dinnedal still has another 18 bars to get to level 86.
Yeah, I just got bored of grinding in games because you do kind of have to in Pokemon, to be fair. See, there's 649 Pokemon now according to the chat room.
Thanks, chat room. We appreciate that statistic. It makes our point brilliantly.
Is just crazy. Like, you look at some of the Pokemon and their names, and it's just like, why did they choose to do that? Like, the original kind of first 150, they were cool. Like, especially the Pokemon cards, they had the best design. Well, they had the nice designs, the Ken Sugimori designs and stuff like that. It was cool when it was a number that you could remember them. Like, it was cool to remember 150 off by heart, and then when they went up each and every stage, but then when they introduced a whole new starting set, it was just too many Pokemon. Too many Pokemons. I like the first 150 set, they're still cool. But yeah, so you got that on the DS because it's just DS, isn't it?
DS. Nintendo
they,
DS.
They don't trust the 3DS yet, do they? Pokemon. Yeah. Because obviously Nintendo don't have enough faith yet in the 3DS or making one of their major franchises a 3DS only game. I mean, they're doing it now with Professor Layton. Maybe the next jump for Pokemon after...
Mario.
Yeah, they've done it with Mario as well. Maybe the next jump for Pokemon will be on the 3DS. I mean, they've had a...
I think this one should have been on 3DS.
I think it should have as well.
Let's kill the DS. Let's kill it.
Because I know people that play the Pokemon
Let's
games...
smash it to bits.
And then they haven't bought a 3DS yet because they don't need to. Had this one been on 3DS, they would have been potentially thinking about it. But now they're still like, well, I don't need a 3DS, so what's the point?
I don't need a 3DS.
So yeah, that's coming out. It's a massive Nintendo release, of course. Is Pokemon as big as it used to be?
No.
I remember Diamond and Pearl not selling that well when they came out and I was working.
Nah, you get the hardcore Pokemon people buying and then that's it. So about 7 people. One for each continent.
Yeah, I know. I said there was
one for Europe is in the chat room now.
I said there was a Pokemon game on 3DS, but it's not a full-on standard Pokemon game. Okay, so next up, enough about Pokemons. If you have a 3DS anyway, you can get the Pokedex that you can get Pokemon in as well if you want to share another Pokemon action for your 3DS. Dishonored is coming out on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. It's not coming out on PC.
Who's developing Dishonored?
Who's developing it? Arcane.
Okay. How many times, for next week's episode, how many times do you want to guess? I'm going to be told it's made by the same people who made Skyrim.
Oh, of course.
How many times do you think that's going to happen?
It's made by Bethesda. No one's going to know it's made by 20? Arcane. Arcane are like a tiny little studio in the background that no one's going to know of.
It just really annoys me. It's made by the same people who made Skyrim.
Yeah. Well, of course people are going to say that. No, it's also, it's made by the same people who made Fallout. Or New Vegas, or Skyrim, or anything else that Bethesda have made.
Or Doom 2!
It's made by the guys that made Doom. So this is Arcane Studios, like, kind of...
It must be good, it's made by the same people who did it.
Almost first major release. I believe they did release... did they release Arc... No, it was... There's a guy who works on it, was on Arc Fatalis. Then you've got Mr... Oh, I can't think what his name is. Harvey Smith, who... kind of worked on Deus Ex. Everyone always kind of credits him as working as a main person on Thief Deadly Shadows, but he didn't really. They've got the awesome Viktor Antonov, which is why the kind of environments within Dishonored look amazing. It's got lovely atmosphere.
Can you stop saying that word?
What, amazing?
You know how you're saying it. Amazing. That's not right.
It's like how I spelled it the other day. Sorry. I'm really looking forward to Dishonored. It's kind of a stealth action-based game. You got all these different powers, which you get during the game. I've only played it with all these powers thrown in your face, so it's a bit of a...
It's a bit like playing World of Warcraft without ever playing it before. Controlling a level 85 character.
Well, yeah, it's throwing you in the middle of a game where you've got, I don't know, 12 powers, maybe 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Didn't doubt.
Maybe
8.
Powers that you have control over. You're not given a full-on tutorial. You're just told, at least this is when I played it, you were just like put in the middle of it all.
50 pounds.
And had to kind of fend for yourself. But it includes cool things like possessing things. I think that's quite a nice thing. Although, of course, you can only do it for so long and then they throw up and then you've got to quickly hide. Unless it was a rat, it doesn't matter.
So it's just like StarCraft 2.
StarCraft 2?
You can possess things with your investor.
Oh.
Mind control.
You got forms of stealthy stuff. Of course, you can. So you're an assassin seeking out revenge.
Also, it's made by people who did Assassin's Creed. Cool.
He's a supernatural assassin that's driven by revenge. What happened? Did someone get killed? Was it a lady?
Revenge is a dish best served lukewarm.
Lukewarm. Oh, there you go. I thought my Arcane Studios thing is loaded. But it hasn't.
Have you got enough tabs open?
No. You've just got lots of different powers. There's teleporting. I can't think of any. Or you can, of course, go the all-out action approach and try and kill everyone.
Teleport.
And there you go. Their first game was Arc Fatalis. They worked on... Well, they helped out with some Bioshock 2 stuff.
Play MechWarrior Rising.
So they helped out with some external development, I suppose, for Bioshock 2 for 2K Games, because they used to have a thing with them, maybe? In 2009, 2K Marin announced that Arkane was signed up to help with Bioshock 2. They were, of course, working on this really cool game called The Crossing, where it was like the... was it
Crossing
the
Crusades? Over, where Jonathan Edwards, or whatever his name is.
Huh?
Never mind.
It was like Victor Antonov's kind of thing. So it was set in a futuristic Paris, I think, but then people from old time Paris, so like, I think it was Crusades people, I'm probably totally wrong, kind of mixed amongst this futuristic kind of SWAT people, and it was kind of a cool
concept. Had diehard Christian fanatics hanging about in a futuristic Paris.
I think they were
damn Catholics.
I think they were thingies. Huh. They were also apparently working on a game in the Half-Life series called Return to Ravenholm.
Oh,
it got cancelled.
Nice work, Gabe.
We don't go to Ravenholm. Is that it? Is that the thing she says?
I ain't going to Ravenholm. It's full of stupid zombies that aren't as good as Doom.
Hey, Ravenholm's well good. So yeah, that's coming out on Xbox 360, PS3. If you want some stealth action, or if you want to try and kill people, which is quite hard, the stealth stuff's a lot easier because it's been made for stealth. But if you really want to just kill everyone, you can do it. That's out on Friday, and loads of people getting it. I'm totally getting it. If you buy it from Game, you can get the special edition that comes with a 72 pack of tarot cards. That is the only special edition available, except for if you live in America Land, where you can get some kind of lamp or something like that.
Tarot cards.
Dishonored tarot cards. Dishonored.
And let's pronounce them right. Tarot.
Tarot. Tarot.
Let's talk about XCOM Enemy Unknown, because this is a fantastic game.
Yeah, this is a big release. So we've got kind of Bethesda up against 2K Games this week. So 2K Games releasing XCOM Enemy Unknown. This is Firaxis. Is that how you say it?
Firaxis
is...
So Sid Meier personally made this game, did he?
Yeah, he sat at night coding every single day.
Sid Meier,
to get
yeah.
it out.
He's legend. He's a guy who single-handedly made Civ slightly worse than the last version.
I'm not sure how long they've been working on this, but of course, with everyone being annoyed with 2K Marin's XCOM, being like, oh, it's a first-person shooter, it's nothing like XCOM, which, to be fair, yes, but...
Deal with it.
You can have a sequel to a game that uses the atmosphere and the environment and the settings of a game.
Halo Wars.
As opposed to using the gameplay. I seriously would have loved...
Command and Conquer.
A first-person XCOM game. I know everyone hated it, but I was actually kind of looking forward to it because I liked what 2K Marin did with Bioshock 2.
Just like how the shooter Command and Conquer game was fantastic, Renegade.
However,
Studios,
of course,
don't step out of your comfort zone.
There's rumours now that XCOM by Marin is now a third person tactical game.
Who cares?
Like, it was a first person / third person tactical game, but apparently it's all tactical now. Anyway, I'm totally going off course. So yeah, XCOM Enemy Unknown for Firaxis Games, coming out on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3 and PC. There's a special edition on PC which comes with some cool stuff if you buy it from Game. Game are getting all the cool pre-order stuff at the moment. What? They are. They get the special edition. Okay. Paul just doesn't agree.
Tarot cards are not cool.
Oh, what, you're complaining about that still? It's better than, hey, I'm Tesco's. Here's this random piece of DLC that you don't need. Oh, here, I'm Amazon. Here's this random piece of DLC that you don't need. Here, I'm Shop 2.
Well,
here's that
DLC,
random piece of DLC you don't
AKA
need.
Stuff that should be on the disc.
Well, the DLC that is for Dishonored isn't even, like, anything special. It's just stuff that gives you a
purple weapon!
Extra
wow.
help at the start of the game.
Whoopie-doo-dah.
It's, like, charisma skills and stuff.
What?
So, yeah, XCOM Enemy Unknown. There's a demo out. You can give it a play. If you want to see if you like their tactical version of XCOM Enemy Unknown. And you can give it a go.
Fable the Journey is coming out as well.
Yep, this is one of three Kinect games coming out this week. Fable the Journey, of course, there's a demo up on Xbox Live. It's Fable with Kinect riding horses. Or is it like that? There's riding horses
and
casting
spells. No, you don't ride a horse
spells.
Like that.
This is with Kinect. Casting spells at things and hitting them in different directions. I know a few people that have played it and kind of enjoyed it. I know a few people that have played it and found it very hard to control. So who knows what happened with it. Hopefully, it's not the last game that Lionhead release. That's the one thing I'm kind of worried about.
Yeah, if I was Microsoft, I'd be like...
Now that Peter Molyneux's not there, they might just be like, oh, do we really need them?
I'm going to be like...
Unless they push Fable 4 out of them.
Fable the Journey.
They might do a Fable 4.
Fable 4 new gen console, could they?
Yeah, they could do something like that.
Chuck it out on launch, then shut them down.
So yeah, Fable the Journey. Kinect only game. Then we've got WRC FIA World Rally Championship 3 coming out on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3 and Windows. This is the only official game of the World Rally Championships, packed with more than 50 plus official race teams, so all the different cars and stuff, and it's a rally game. So they still can't, they don't come out every year anymore, do they? I can't think of when the last
obviously Codemasters do it,
yeah,
which is kind of left proper rally. And now it's just anything that's dirty.
Anything's dirty. So yeah, we got that. It has single player, online mode, and all this other jib-jab for WRC fans. There is also another one coming out, which I will mention a little bit later on. Then we got Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted. This is a game for the new Madagascar film, Madagascar 3. Well, Madagascar 3 came out a little while ago now, didn't it? Oh, it says upcoming, so maybe it's not out yet. Coming out on PS3, Wii, 3DS, 360, and DS. I believe the 360 one has Kinect support. I might be wrong.
Give it a rest with these stupid film games.
To be fair, animation films can be alright.
People have learned they're not very good.
Mm.
Nobody buys them.
Depends
anymore.
On what they're making with it. There's drop in, drop out, two people multiplayer on Madagascar 3. However, it doesn't say whether it's local or online yet, Paul.
If they did a Lego Madagascar, it would sell like hell.
If you did Lego anything, it would sell like hell.
And it shouldn't, because I'm fed up with them.
Let's make a Lego Crisis. And Lego...
Lego Mech Warrior!
Mech Warrior, there you
go. Oh my god.
That'd be kind of cool, to be fair. Making a mech out of Lego. You'd actually have to build it.
Let's do it. Scrap Mech Warrior Online, build this stupid Lego game.
So yeah, that's coming out on a variety of platforms.
And if you can't get the license for Lego,
steal.
Use Mega Bloks. They're cheaper.
We've got Orcs and Men coming out on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and Windows. This is a kind of two-player... I say two-player. You control two characters within the game, an orc and a goblin, which is really cool because you don't generally...
What about the man?
Huh? Oh.
Where's the man? Who's Do you control man? Him?
No. It's nice because you don't generally, I mean, other than in things like WoW and stuff like that, you don't get, well, in a story driven game, you don't generally get to play as kind of the uglier of characters, and they're kind of ugly, but they're also really, really cool, like orcs and goblins. So this is an RPG where you're playing an orc and a goblin, and you switch between them to use their kind of different abilities. So of course a massive hulking orc has great strength. And a small kind of goblin is quite nimble and fast and able to run around. We saw it at E3, and I thought it looked really nice. It's being made by Cyanide. Is that what their name is, Cyanide? I think my internet's being really slow.
Maybe you shouldn't have 10,000 tabs open.
Yeah.
Catherine's computer uses 16 gig of RAM for the web browser.
Yeah, Cyanide. So they're the guys that generally make... Oh, and Spiders as well. So it's being made by two companies. But Cyanide are the people that make the Blood Bowl games, so like Warhammer. So they've got like a lot of orc and goblin background in them.
Yeah, but not proper orcs. Not proper goblins.
However, I think it's really cool. You should check it out because it is quite different. It's kind of fantasy RPG. It's nice. And it's Western developed in France, I believe, Cyanide are.
Le France.
Then we've got Secret Files 3, which is a sequel to Secret Files 2. This is a Windows point-and-click adventure game carrying on from where...
If it's not Simon Sorcerer,
Secret Files 2 came set off from. It's quite cheap, the release of it. I think it was like 20 quid or something like that.
Well, I was saying that there's actually loads of games like that on the Windows Store.
Are there? Then we've also
Here's one right here.
We've also got the PlayStation 3 Super Slim, 12 gigabyte model. So how much was it? size memory that came out last time? Was it 500 gig?
500 gigabits?
The 500 gig model came out a few weeks back. And now we've got the 12 gigabyte cheaper model out. It comes with the other standard stuff, except it's got 12 gigabyte hard drive, which hopefully means you can play games on it. You'll be able to download something. But it uses flash memory, is that right?
Yeah. It's 12 gigabits of internal flash memory.
Internal fish memory. Fish memory! Then we've also got Harry Potter for Kinect, which, oh my god, the box art, that looks horrible! I looked at the box art, it's really, really creepy.
Don't insult it.
I'm just saying that...
I didn't insult any of your games, why are you insulting my game?
I'm just saying the box art is ever so slightly creepy.
It's supposed to be creepy,
you've
it's
got
Harry
with a weird smile on the front while he's pointing at Ron with a wand... And Hermione's there, kind of looking a bit creepy, but not pointing her other arm, which has kind of disappeared.
It's just been photoshopped off.
It's just been photoshopped off. It just looks a little bit creepy. And this is kind of the Harry Potter games put into Kinect, or to work with Kinect, for people to play Harry Potter. And I suppose Warner Brothers to get a little bit more money out of Harry Potter, now that the films are finished.
Well, we can do a prequel soon.
So yeah, that's fun. That's a Kinect-only game. And then we've got PlayStation Move Dance Star Party Hits, which is a PlayStation Move game, which is dancing with PlayStation Move. Then we've got Mud Fim Motocross World Championship on the Vita. So we had World Rally, and then we've got Motocross, so kind of muddy sports. This is a Vita-only game. It has official licenses from MX1, MX2, and MXON. What's MXON?
MacWarrior Online.
Okay.
No.
This is a Vita-only game, so if you're into motocross and you have a Vita, you might want to pick this up. And then finally, we've got River Master, which is a simulator where you're delivering cargo across rivers in Europe. This is one of the largest rivers in Europe. What's that?
I know the Danube.
The Rhine.
The Rhine.
And so you're a little boat thing. Carrying cargo. And that's all that's coming out this week.
Oh, is that it?
There's quite a lot of stuff coming out.
Oh man, nothing.
Previews and or reviews.
Right, unfortunately there was an event a couple of weeks back. An event which will not be named because it's sponsored by the wrong people.
Okay.
We will simply refer to it as the Gamercast Expo.
The Gamercast Expo. Okay.
Sponsored by Gamercast, brought to you by Gamercast. Organised by some guy. Sponsored by MacWarrior.
So I'll only talk quickly about it. I'm talking about some of the games that I mainly kind of enjoyed.
I didn't play
playing.
Any games. I didn't go there. It was my birthday. I was at home by myself.
I'm sorry, Paul.
But I got this t-shirt.
Yeah, he did get this t-shirt. I played Crysis 3 for that. The Hunter mode, which is a bit...
lame.
Hard.
Lame.
Hard, but enjoyable. A quite interesting type of mode for them to make.
Should it be better? They're exactly like Crysis 1, but without the aliens. That mode would be better.
So the main things I thought I'd talk about, so Hitman Absolution I played 3 times in total. It was the Chinatown, Streets of Chinatown?
Chinatown.
I can't think of what it was called. The Chinatown mission. It's good. I enjoyed it. There were 6 ways in total to complete the mission. According to a little kind of, cheat sheet in front of you. It was just a piece of paper with an image and a little bit of text saying what you could kind of do. Charlotte told me to first do... poisoning sushi for the guy to eat and then die of fugu poisoning, which of course anyone that's watched The Simpsons would know about fugu, so Paul knows about fugu.
Yeah, it's this fish that doesn't exist in real life, it only exists in The Simpsons, and the funny Japanese man cut it wrong.
So
and Homer got killed and never seen another Simpsons.
So you grab a piece of fugu fish from a table and you pop it in his sushi and then he eats it and then he dies. I tried doing that first time, but he'd gone off on a different course and wasn't going back to eat food, so I screwed it up. And Charlotte said, "Oh, just shoot him in the head and then you can leave." I shot him in the head and then it said, "Oh, alerted, everyone knows where you are," and you couldn't leave. And then the SWAT came and it turned into a gunfight and it was terrible. Terrible. It was horrible.
Well, why'd you shoot him in the head, you stupid?
Charlotte told me to. Because I didn't know what else to do.
Charlotte said jump on my cliff, would you?
No. So, my first attempt was not that great. However, I then went and played it again the next day. And I did a much better job. I put the fish in the sushi and poisoned him, and he died, and then I'd left. And then that was good. However, we then went and played
it. Can you not just beat him up in the bathroom or something?
While he's taking a whiz, you can kill him.
Do that.
Well, I did do that on my next playthrough. So he likes to drink lattes or something like that, it said. So he goes for a whiz by some bicycles, actually. He goes and takes a piss on bicycles. I'm pretty sure there were bicycles there. I was just like, rude. And you just kind of hide yourself in an alleyway, and there's some precarious looking bricks or something on a little flatbed thing hanging from something, and you just shoot it, and then it falls on him and he gets smooshed. So I did that and he got killed. I got the best score from that. And then I won the game. There was lots of other ways. You could set the car to explode when the alarm went off or when the ignition went in the thing, but you had to find a certain thing to be able to do that. You could do something that involved a drug deal. There was sniping, an all-out war. There's loads of different ways. I tried two of them in total, and I really enjoyed it. And it's coming out November 20th, so I'm looking forward to my deluxe professional edition of that. As well as that, there I played Far Cry 3 for about 40 minutes. It was enjoyable. It's a shame it's not by Crytek in the CryEngine, because I reckon it would look a hell of a lot nicer. But it looks alright. It's just a little bit flaky on the edges, I suppose, but otherwise it was really enjoyable. I wouldn't have played it for 40 minutes otherwise, though. I just kept playing it, and I just felt like I was playing the whole game. I don't know if we were. There was no kind of story element to it, really. But it was quite enjoyable. Myself and Charlotte played it for about 40 minutes. And then I was like, oh, we should probably stop playing this. I looked at my phone, and I was like, oh, wow, it's 40 minutes. So I apologised to the guy, but they were just letting people play for as long as they wanted, really. So you could kind of sit there and play it for hours on end. But I found it enjoyable. What did I do? I took over a rebel base. I took on a wanted thing and killed a man with a knife, which was a specific way to kill him.
With knife?
I took up a thing for hunting, well, a job for hunting two bears down and killing them with a certain thing and taking their skin. I did that. That was fun. I had a tiger jump out at me and maul me to death. That was enjoyable. I thought I heard something. Didn't realise it was a tiger until he was on me. And then I was trying to press Y. Well, there was no key. So it was on PC. There was a keyboard and mouse. I played with keyboard and mouse. There was also a gamepad to the side if you want to play it on a 360 controller. However, because the 360 controller was plugged in, button prompts came up for the 360 controller, not the keyboard. And no one at the stand knew the shortcuts on PC.
Press escape, go to options, and have a look.
There were none.
Okay, Ubisoft, you fucked up.
So Charlotte had a look for that as well, and she saw that it wasn't there, so I was like, oh, okay. Because it said press Y to heal on the controller, and I did not have the time to try and figure out, because you had to hold Y to heal. I didn't have the time to figure out which button healed on the keyboard.
H?
I don't know. So
EQ,
I ended up having to use any big button prompts like heal.
RTGF.
I just had to take my hands off the keyboard and hold the Y button very quickly.
Pick up.
Until I was healed, and then I'd control on the keyboard and mouse again.
Silly.
It was slightly annoying.
How can you not see the controls in the menu? Silly.
Damn. Charlotte said they weren't there, so I never bothered looking. Which seems a bit strange. But yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed that. I played Tomb Raider, which was the start of the Crossroads demo that I saw at E3. Sadly, it's only the start, which is hunting. So Lara is feeling a bit peckish. She wakes up after being in a camp. You need to find some way to hunt. You find a bow and arrows on dead man, kind of hauled up in the air. She kind of grabs it. It's quite a cinematic demo. Yep.
Did she not think, there's a dead man there? Maybe whatever just killed him will be after me next.
Well, it was like dead him had been strung up. Well, yeah, she'd been attacked already. She'd seen friends been attacked previously.
I'd be like, nah, boy, I'm going home.
She's stuck on this island.
Swim. Maybe the island moves like the giant turtle in Pandaria.
So yeah, you've got to get this bow and arrow so you can then hunt a deer. It's a very cinematic demo. It feels like it's a bit better if someone plays it and you watch, as opposed to playing it yourself, because you end up standing there waiting for cutscenes to finish, which isn't really what you want in a demo. You kind of, like with a demo, you want a slice, but a slice that is mainly saying you can play. Whereas it felt like the cutscene to gameplay ratio was a bit higher than you'd like.
Unless your story is Halo, go away with the cutscene.
I did enjoy it. I enjoyed playing it. It controls really well. The animation system's amazing. Her just kind of putting her hand on walls and crouching automatically without having to press crouch button and stuff like that is really nice. However, there were moments in that demo where I felt, why am I not controlling her while she does this? So she kind of...
Well, to make it into a film, so you don't have to press anything to play it. You press start, and then it just does the whole game.
She had to kind of clamber along a branch to get this bow and arrow, but you had no kind of say in any of that. There were a few moments like that where I just thought, why am I not making these movements? Why am I not doing this? But it's nice. It's a lovely game. I'm totally buying it. It's a new Tomb Raider game.
I'm not going to buy it.
That's okay. I don't expect you to buy it.
All I'm going to buy is MechWarrior Online, and it's free. And I've already paid £80 for it.
Yes, it's free, and you've already paid a lot of money for it.
But it's worth it.
I also played the...
So earlier today, yeah, there was an Atlas, yeah. I was like, nibbois. I was just like, I set up all my weapons on one button, yeah. And I was just like, I blew the crap out of that thing. My Alpha Strike power is enormous in the mech I've got at the moment.
Yeah.
The trouble is I cannot fire for more than 3 seconds without my mech exploding.
Is that because he overheats?
Well, yeah. So on, like... Frozen City, it's not too bad, yeah, but on the other maps it's like, SpaghettiOs.
So I also played The Cave, which myself and Charlotte were very much looking forward to. We also grabbed another friend in and we all played that. Well, it was only two player, but I kind of sat and spectated the second time we went to it. But yeah. I played it the first time. Lovely game. It's from the kind of creative mind of Ron Gilbert and Double Fine Creations.
Old you.
Double Fine Creations, Double Fine Productions.
Double Fine.
Double Fine. Being published by Sega. Coming out on the Wii U, which hadn't been mentioned before. However, we noticed on the splash screen it said Wii U. We asked one of the guys there who was kind of manning the booth, which were two guys who were really nice. And they said apparently it was mentioned in interviews at PAX, but they never gave it a full kind of press announcement. It was coming out on Wii U, Xbox Live Arcade, PSN... lovely game, works so well. It's co-op based puzzle adventure game like Lost Vikings 2, which I love. Yep.
What about Simon the Sorcerer?
No.
I want Simon the Sorcerer 1 remade.
No.
2D before anyone. No.
Well, get on to AdventureSoft.
AdventureSoft, yeah. And what's that? A holding company by some guy in Saudi Arabia now.
So yeah, The Cave's lovely. One of the best things was just the subtle kind of animation differences between characters. Like, I played as the knight and he was the cutest little thing because he's, of course, a knight, so you expect him to be all kind of brave and powerful. But he had this cute little animation where he kind of put his fingers together and kind of looked around as if he was a bit scared. As if he didn't know what the hell was about.
Well, that's really what nice. Happens when Dinadel jumps out and scares you, because when Dinadel is anywhere on the same continent as you, that is it. People need to watch out. So you know how the WoW stuff, everyone in the WoW cities was killed the other day? Do you know who that was? That was Dinadel logging in.
Oh yeah.
Everyone just dies.
Another set of characters. Well, I say a set of characters is really nice in it. There's a pair of twins who are controlled together. But it's just really nice. Like, a difference in their jumps is really nice. So the boy jumps slightly faster than the girl, and he has a little hat that flips up and down, and he jumps up on ledges faster. It's just lovely. I'd say it all makes sense. The thing is, there's not that much. Like, you're stuck within an area. You've got a few items around. It's easy to figure out what there is to do. And it's nice because it allows for experimenting. There's no death in the game. What it does is it kind of puts you back to a player position. The camera seems a little weird because sometimes it decides to take control of a certain character. Well, give them the camera control, and it just doesn't really make that much sense sometimes.
And then the camera eats you.
But it's got lovely writing, as you would expect. Plays brilliantly, it looks awesome. And I cannot wait to play it. However, sadly, it's only local co-op.
That's fine.
It's fine for people who live near the people they're friends with. However, well, I could play with you. But I can't...
I'm a mech warrior.
I can't play with Charlotte.
Well, maybe the cave too will have...
I asked the guy if they were doing online co-op, and he said the reason why they're not is, of course, to bring people together to play it. But it's like...
So the real reason is they don't have a programmer who's experienced with doing multiplayer.
Well, no, I understand the thing. It's the best game to bring people together with, so you can discuss it while you're playing it. But I'm sure, like, it's
but
the same...
But people would like the option.
Surely in America, it's even worse, right? Because places are so far apart. Because it's a bigger area. But, like, in the UK, like, I'd play it with people that live... hour and a half away or something like that. Suppose I could just go there and play a game.
Yes, and the company can reimburse the travel expenses.
But I'm looking forward to
it. Look out, whoever's making this. Double Fine. Whatever your name is. Tim Schafer. Pete Molyneux. John Carmack. You're getting a bill. How to go travel to play with my friend.
I mean, I played a few other things. Tokyo Jungle.
Pounds.
Unfinished Swan. Sly Raccoon on Vita. Metal Gear Solid Rising. Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, even.
Metal Gear, stupid Japanese game.
I played Hitman. Far Cry. I played Devil May Cry. God of War Ascension. Didn't bother with the Wii U, as I'd already played them all anyway.
Wii U?
Yeah, it was good. Can I mention the name of the show? You said I wasn't allowed.
Yes, Gamercast Expo.
The Eurogamer Expo.
Right.
It was
being cut off.
It was pretty
the
good.
The Gamercast Expo was meh. It was all right.
I enjoyed
obviously
it.
Obviously, next year we're going to hope to improve it. But
like last year's, I enjoyed because I hung out with people that were cool. The year before that, we didn't really enjoy it that much. Myself and Charlotte, so Charlotte didn't go to last year's one. But I really enjoyed it. The people I was with enjoyed it. I went to one of the developer sessions, only one of them though. And yeah, I thought it was really, really good. It was much better than last year's.
Better than E3, isn't it?
Smaller than E3.
But better.
You don't get to go to LA.
That's a good thing, in my opinion.
Got nice food in LA and big video game stores.
Yeah, they've also got a bunch of... who need a smack.
Jeez. I don't know. Also, it's nicer than E3 because it's more condensed. But with E3, you get bigger stuff there. So, for example, Dead Space 3 was at Eurogamer Expo. They didn't turn up. For some reason, they didn't take that
who
long.
Who cares about Dead Space?
No, I wanted to have a look at it.
Doom 3 for
the
win.
Oh, SimCity was playable, of course. We played Charlotte played SimCity. I watched it.
Yeah, and we know what I'm going to end up thinking of that.
Charlotte enjoyed it.
Just remake SimCity 4.
But yeah, I mean, Eurogamer is nice. Eurogamer Expo, my apologies, is nice. E3 is good as well, though, so you can't really... I mean, so Eurogamer Expo is good because it has smaller people there as well. But yeah, I enjoy both. I like going to the ones in the UK. Like, Rezzed is still one of the best UK little games things that I've been to now so far.
Let's wrap this up because we're at an hour and 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, that was just me saying that Rezzed was hosted by Eurogamer as well.
And the new rule is the episode can only be 30 minutes long. So
this was a big show.
We've broken
this
the rule.
This is me pointing at show notes. But yeah, so we will catch you next week. It will probably be a lot less. Of course, no previews or reviews unless I talk about Dishonored or something like that. I think there's a few less releases next week. I might be wrong about that. And I'm sure there'll be around the same amount of news. Yeah, it's fine. Everyone likes it.
Yeah, feedback at gamercast.net. Check out our website, gamercast.net, YouTube channel, Twitter, blah, 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 Facebook, blah, 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 blah. And we'll catch everyone next week.
Yep, we will do that.
Maybe.
Bye. Yeah, we will.